Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, August 17th, 2014. Pastor Paul Talberg. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
The day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And before we have our sermon and the children's devotion, I just want to reread this part because it's one that you may have missed. Well, I can't speak for you. When I was growing up, I completely missed this. Jesus said, "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen." I now invite the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion. It's a nice plate, huh? Silver plate. It's kind of cool. Oh, no, they don't. No, this plate was given by someone who's now in heaven. Yeah, it's very cool. She wanted to make sure that we would have this plate so we could have the Lord's Supper. But we're not going to talk about the Lord's Supper today. We're going to talk about these two pieces of metal right here. Okay? And this is A. Can you say that? A. Okay. How many of you know how to read? Okay. Yeah, okay. How do you learn how to read? You know what happens? It's so cool because I'm married to Mrs. T. Mrs. T is the teacher and the principal of our school, and I got to see her teach my children how to read. It's so cool. You know what you start off with? Start off with a book with pictures. That's all it is, just pictures. And you talk about the pictures that are on the page. And your child looks and points to different things and you call them. And then you go to a picture book that has big words. And you read the same words over and over again. And then pretty soon the child follows along and points their finger. You ever remember doing that? Pointing their finger at the little words? And then the words get, they're really big so you can read it easily. And then it gets smaller and smaller. Well, what is this again? A. This is A. Say it. A. Okay, now, what we're going to learn today is about how does God grow us in his word? And it has to do with A. You say A? A is the first letter of what? The alphabet. All right, you have to know the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And then you have to know how the alphabet goes together so that it makes a word. Like cat is spelled C-A-T. How about dog? Oh, yeah, see, it's getting scary now. He's going to call on people for, what if I ask how to spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? I will not do that. You probably could. Yeah, you're pretty smart that way. This is an A, and I'm telling you this because today we have a special choir here, the Studeman family. Can you say good morning, Mrs. Good morning, Studeman family. Say
good morning, Studeman
family. Okay, and they know all about A. I love A. Because A is what you have to learn when you're going to play a musical instrument, when you're going to sing, when you play the trumpet, you're going to play the organ, and you're going to have to learn about A. And this is A, right here. This is A. And you're saying, well, whoopee fizz. Can you sing the note A? Give me a note. Maybe. I don't know. You tell me. Sing it. Ready? Just go just hum. Hum an A for me. All right, well, we have a problem, okay? Here, this is an A. You hear that? Hum that now. Isn't that cool? That's an A. Now, what happens is, it's right here, you just can't hear it. Now, the reason why you can hear it is because I know about science. God invented physics. It's a really cool thing. And science, this is actually bouncing back and forth so fast you can hardly see it, but sound is made up of little bouncing back things. They go bouncing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you can't hear it, but sometimes you can slow it down so you can hear it there. That's an A. That's how it all starts. Now, you don't know science. You don't know that this is a tuning fork. You don't know that this is A in the tuning fork alphabet. But if you're into music, you'll learn. If you're into science, you'll learn how this works and how this works even in your head. And if you're in choir, you'll learn how to put them all together with other voices and with a musical instrument. Those are all things you learn slowly. Now, those of us who are in our congregation, we know a young woman, and her name is Clara Candler, and she's learning how to play the organ. And when she was your age, she couldn't play the organ. You know why? She didn't know A. In fact, she couldn't play the organ because she was not tall enough. When you play the organ, you have to reach the pedals, and she couldn't even reach the floor when she was sitting on the bench. So she had to wait while God grew her body so she would be long enough and tall enough to be able to play the organ. Sometimes what happens is it just takes a while learning. So I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you some more today. And you know some of the stuff I teach the grown-ups? It's going to go right over your head. And that's okay. Because what you need to know, God will make sure you get. And if you don't understand it, what you do is you just wait and say, God, I really didn't understand this part today. Please help me. God always answers those prayers with a yes. Okay, let's go to Jesus in prayer, shall we? Dear Jesus, thank you so much for letting me know all about you. Sometimes I don't get it, but I do know one thing. Just like I know that the sound that A makes now, I know the sound that your love makes because I heard it and I saw it. There on the cross, you took away my sins. And then from the empty tomb, you came back to life again. Thank you so much. Please help me to keep on growing up in my faith and knowledge all about you. Amen. Now may you quietly go back to your seats. We'll continue. Well, the past several Sundays, you've seen different ways of presenting God's word. You've seen, last week you saw birthday boxes that I gave to the children to remind them of their baptism birthday and how God has given them limitless treasure. In the right before the sermon, you saw, in one week, you saw a cartoon of the parable. Last week, you saw a children's book, a storybook, picture book of the parable that was that week. And now today, I'm using tuning forks. Why am I doing all these things? The first is, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to shepherd God's flock. Flock means everyone from the itty-bitty babies in arms to us grown-ups who are 60-plus, and I'm in that group now. Very happy with that group. That means that I make sure that as far as is humanly possible, I help children and teenagers and collegiates and young adults and us oldsters understand all about God. Now, so far, with some of the parables we've seen that God was a generous God. He reached into his sack of his word and recklessly, a wild man, he's throwing out his word into the world. Some of it lands on a path and it gets eaten up. Some of it lands among thorns or shallow ground. And some of it lands on fertile ground and it grows up, produces a harvest. Well, so we saw that God was generous. Last week we saw that God was patient. Even though there are weeds among there, he waited. He didn't pull up the wheat. He waited so that the wheat could produce fruit. So now what are we looking at today? Well, we're not going to be looking at all the parables in this little section. There's a parable of the hidden treasure in the field. And there's a parable of the merchant looking for fine pearls, and the parable of the net. All of those things show that God is a great God of details, and his treasure, his word, life with him is more important than anything you could ever imagine. And people who get it understand this. You don't even have to tell them that. Sometimes we get discouraged in this world because evil keeps on multiplying. It's not only multiplying outside of church, it's multiplying inside of church. So what do? We go to our Lord, we say, Lord, and the Lord says, don't worry, remember the parable of the net. I cast out my net, I bring it in, and I am the impartial judge. I separate between those who trust in me and those who don't. So don't worry, no one is sneaking into heaven who shouldn't be there. And I will make sure that you get there safely. That's really good news for us. Now today what we're going to do is we're going to look at another parable, the householder parable. And we're going to look at what will I do with my knowledge of God's word. Now, it's always dangerous when a pastor shares little personal stories, but I have to share this because it's just, if you're married, you know how this is. I remember first holding my wife's hand. And I felt such an incredible joy. You just cannot believe it, unless, of course, you've experienced this yourself. Wow! She let me hold her hand. That was so neat. And then I remember on her wedding day, I stood before God's altar at the church, our Wells Church in Montello, Wisconsin. And I knew that I loved my wife. I knew she loved me. And I knew I could never love her more than what I did right then and there. Wrong. Shortly after we were married, the Lord saw fit to put me through a little grinder, and I just about died. And while I was between life and death, I couldn't talk. So my wife, who knew sign language, translated what I would do with my hands so the doctor would know what's going on. And then, one night, when you're very, very sick in the hospital, you'll understand this. People can't talk to you. They like you there, but they can't talk. It's not like you're at their house visiting. And so what happened is it was like, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning, and I barely opened up my eyes, and I saw my wife right there in the room, sound asleep. And I said, ah. And I knew I could never love her more. Wrong. Then, of course, the Lord let us have our baby, Katie. And after 48 hours of trying to get Katie in this world, and she finally came in, and out comes this baby, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And the doctor places it on my wife, and her face, just like all of heaven, just poured right out of her face. And I said, I could never love my wife more than I do right now. Incredible. Wrong. And again, the Lord gave us another child. Again, the Lord amplified our love. That's just how it is. But I want you to notice something. The same love that I had is the same love I have right now. It's just that it's gotten a little bit deeper, a little bit broader. I understand a little bit more. My mom had an insight into this because when I was going to school, of course, I was a teenager, and of course, you just love to complain about everything, and I was on the path to become a pastor, and so I would come home at holiday times, and I would spend a lot of time complaining about my professors and complaining about this guy and that guy and this quirks and whatever it might be. Like, my quirk is I work with my hands, and I don't like to stay anchored to this thing, and I like to use visuals and music and things like that. And that's a quirk. That's how I teach best. Well, so I'm complaining one day to my mom, and my mom said to me, "You know, I'll let you complain. That's kind of unusual for our family, but I will let you complain if you promise to write down your complaints, what bothers you, and then if the Lord is gracious and lets you become a pastor, you take out that book and you look and see if you're doing anything like what you were complaining about. And if you are, then stop it. And if you are, but you understand now why, then you go back to that professor that you're complaining about and you tell him you're sorry. And explain to him this whole conversation." And I said, "Piece of cake, Mom, because I know everything. I'm a teenager. And I know these parents, that these professors are all wrong, and these teachers have got it wrong. And so I wrote down everything wrong. I have been eating crow so much. Unbelievable. I'm finding out why they do that." Well, that's kind of what's going on here. Some people look at this part of God's word and they say, "Oh, something old, something new. You're supposed to do new things all the time." No, that's not what it's talking about. He's not talking about whether you use PowerPoints or not. The Lord is wondering, do you understand? Because Jesus wants us to understand. And when we think we understand, he says, "Do you? Do you understand? What does it mean that Jesus died for my sins? What does it mean that a Roman soldier spit on his face because he hated Jesus? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for me that they whipped his back and they nailed him to the cross? What does that mean? That means that my sins are a horrible thing. I don't want to do that anymore. It also means God has an incredible love for me. He went the whole distance to remove my sins from me and take me safely into his side in heaven." Oh, wow. Jesus wants me to understand. He wants me also to go from just understanding to be a true kingdom scribe. What does that mean, kingdom scribe? Scribes in Jesus' day were not well-loved, unless, of course, you're part of the scribe family. Scribes were the guys who knew their Bibles back and forth. They could tick off 600-plus commandments that you had better be following every day, otherwise you're going to make God mad. They counted out how many steps you were supposed to walk in a day on a Sabbath, on a worship day, and you had better not walk a step further, or you're sinning against God. Whoa. The tassels at the bottom of your garment, they better be a certain length, woven a certain way at just a certain time, or you are in big trouble with the heavenly, holy God. They got it all wrong. They made God's word a burden for God's family. And Jesus, as you know, he called them hypocrites. He saw right through. They were just pretending. And yet now Jesus says we are supposed to be true kingdom scribes. But what was a scribe's job? You have to go back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament, there was a time when they came back into the promised land from being exited a long time. And they came back and the priest spoke God's word and the people didn't get it. I don't understand what's going on. Kind of like me holding up a fork saying, "This is A." And the kids look at me like, "Okay." And so what happened is Ezra told the scribes to explain God's word plainly in the people's language to them. So that's what he did. And the parents with their children in arms rejoiced because they finally had God's word explained to them. That's the whole thing. That's why we have children's devotions. That's why I hand out things. That's why people give to the congregation to make sure that happens. Because we want to make sure that God's word is understandable. Because it doesn't do a thing of good if you come to church all the time and you miss the reason why you come to church. Because God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven your sin. So the Lord tells us to teach from those gospel treasures that we have. What do I mean by that? Well, you have them already. You understand something. Well, Pastor, I don't know Greek and Hebrew. So what? Well, I haven't read through my whole Bible yet. So what? Well, I'm not very good at learning God's word by heart. So what? You do know something. You know something about God and his word. And there are people outside of these walls, outside of this web out there in the world who do not know what you know. And you're saying, well, Pastor, they all know that, don't they? When I was at West Bend as a vicar there, I had the great privilege of having a very active youth who would bring their friends to church. They constantly bring them to church. And one of them wanted to go into an adult class, a one-on-one adult class. So we'd go over to church, and we'd meet at church, and we'd have this one-on-one adult class. And I remember an amazing time when the Lord taught me something. As I was teaching you the story of Lazarus, who had died, just nod your head if you remember that history. Lazarus, who died, okay? Everyone knows that, right? Everyone knows that. And I'm telling her that story, and I know that she knows it, so I'm just using that story as a bridge to whatever is going to be explained. And as I said, and then, of course, Jesus had missed the funeral, and so he went to the gravesite, and he told Mary not to cry and things like that, and then they told him to roll back the stone. And she interrupted me, and she said, Pastor, actually, I was vicar then. She said, Vicar, wouldn't the body stink? And I said, that's exactly what God says. The people said, Lord, his body stinks. He's been decomposing. He's been dead for a week. And Jesus said, haven't I told you you're going to see God's glory? And she looked at me with this emptiness in her eyes. And I said, so what happened is they rolled back the stone. They obeyed what Jesus said. And then Jesus said in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man walked out of the tomb. And she went, oh! As the first time she had heard that history. She grew up in Wisconsin. Smack dab in the middle of what you and I would think would be a Christian haven. And she didn't know that very basic thing. So whatever you know, the Lord says, you teach it to somebody else. You take from those treasures that he has given to you, and you just share it. And guess what? If they ask you a question you don't know, just say, I don't know. I'll have to find out. Because you serve the God who loves to answer those prayers. We are to faithfully give away that good news. Jesus, during his life of 3 years, morning till night, preached and taught and fed thousands of people, casting out demons, raising the dead, healing the sick, teaching from morning till night, and he never charged a penny. And yet Judas was a treasurer. How can they have a treasury if Jesus never charged a penny? Well, they had it because people out in the world knew that if Jesus had to eat, his disciples had to eat, if they're preaching and teaching all the time, something's got to be taken care of the practical ways, and so they would give some of their money. And Jesus, to make sure that it would all be taken care of correctly with good stewardship, they appointed a treasurer to watch over the gifts that would come in. But I want you to see what happened. Jesus taught God's good news. The people responded, and Jesus didn't tell them to do that. They just did. Because that's how God works with his word in his people. The Savior came, teaching about God's kingdom and how his word works in our hearts, and he's faithful to give it away. So the question is now, what will I do? So ask yourself, What will I do? If you're getting ready to go back to school and you're going like to college or high school, middle school, something like that, you're walking into a mission field in which there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of people who may not know. And Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may glorify God your Father. Whatever it is that you have, whatever it is that you know, the Lord says, faithfully preach and teach it. In Jesus' name, let us continue to do that in as many ways as we possibly can until finally the Lord comes home to take us safely to himself in heaven. In his name, amen.